morning to you all. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we start this morning's worship services, or our message this morning, just a couple of announcements. That remember our pantry donations out back, so that could be taken care of, and I think it would probably be wise of us to make that donation so things are out of the way there before reunion. And so please, you know, bring to the pantry collection. And also, toward the up-and-coming reunion in a couple weeks, please think of if you would be able to make room, if there's any from out of the area, to share your home, open up your home to anyone who might be coming through. I haven't heard particularly of that need just yet, but drawing closer, there could be. Please let me know about that. It's a serious consideration. You have great blessing for this too. Also for talent offerings, that you know, there are things that you may be inspired to do. There may be a poem or a reading or a hymn you'd like to sing, or like to sing a special, or play an instrument, and so on and so forth. Please let us know this, that that can be put together. I received an email from Brother Chris down in Fort Wayne, and he'd like to bring his guitar. He'd like to play something during that time, and was wondering about that as well. And so, let's make this a matter of prayer, and make it be a special reunion. And so, ask interest in your prayers for the reunion as a whole. And we think about all the reasons that we would have a reunion. There are so many things, so many blessings that the Spirit of the Lord moves, and hearts and minds that are touched. And so the Lord recognizes the meeting together. You know, it's a rally time. It is also, if you will, a battle cry, where we are arming in order to prepare for, you know, what happens in our lives, out in our workplaces, out, you know, where we are arming ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be renewed, to be revigorated, to be vitalized, and to have the conviction and fire, you know, kindled in our lives. So many things. This reunion, it is a rekindling of friendships. And so, let's remember these things. You know, I have a thought here. I was wondering, thinking about, as Randy was mentioning in our Sunday school this morning, about all the facts concerning China and all the amounts of information that are coming forth in this day and age, and how it's multiplying and so on, and text messaging back and forth, and the conversations we hold this way, and the way we use our internet, and the amount of information back and forth, and the amount of technologies and so on, and how much we would use these things, and sometimes misuse these things, you know, but yet we find how hard it is for people to give a simple prayer to their Lord, who has all power, all knowledge, supersedes all those things, all omnipotent. He's allowed us to have the freedom and the wherewithal to have this knowledge, to be able to get where we are today. If you think about it, you know, there's been however many thousands of years of mankind, and yes, there has been rises and civilizations in the past in history that maybe have diminished, such as the Mayan Empire, you know, and what we find in the Book of Mormon, we find evidences of observatories, and we find astronomy, we find, you know, mathematics, we find great knowledge of being able to build things that we don't have machinery today to be able to move some of these things and cut them. We'd have to have particular huge machinery to cut things, such as the stones in the temples, but they were doing it by hand. And what I'm trying to say is that, yes, there's been certain amounts of knowledge, but not like we are today. So it's heralding not only an information age, but particularly where we are at today. and where we're at today, I believe. And so, that song that we sang, The Old, Old Path. And no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what people learn, no matter the generations that change, no matter what the styles may change, no matter what the fads may be, no matter what how lifestyles may change within people's eyes today, no matter what styles of cars they drive, or the horsepower, the mileage, or the marketplace, no matter what the global economy does, no matter what the technologies that are developed, God does not change. In the Scriptures it says, seek ye out the old paths, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Seek ye out the old paths. And that is our God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has initiated and authored eternal life, and has set forth that foundation, who has set forth and heralded that promise to us, who has extended the arms of mercy, that no matter where we are, where we go in this world, that it is only and through Jesus Christ. No matter what has tried to be made okay today for ways of worshiping, or thinking that there are different paths that they're trying to promote on national television, but don't you think that there are other paths? Don't you think that other ways lead to eternal bliss? Don't you think worshiping this way and that way is okay? But there's only one that has paid the price and has been witnessed and changed the lives of millions, as Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, has been witnessed through the ages. I'd like to take and read an email this morning. And we know that the Scriptures in the New Testament, the Gospels, has Beatitudes. You know how sometimes people have an interesting thought and they have something to provoke an idea, to have us to think. And someone did here. And this is stated, if the devil were to write his Beatitudes, they would probably go something like this. Blessed are those who are too tired or busy to spend an hour once a week with fellow Christians. They are my best workers. Or two, blessed are those Christians who wait to be asked and expect to be thanked. I can use them. Blessed are the touchy who stop going to church. They are my missionaries. Blessed are the troublemakers. They should be called my children. Blessed are the complainers. I'm all ears to them. Blessed are those who are bored with the minister's mannerisms and mistakes, for they get nothing out of his sermons. Blessed is the church member who expects to be invited to his own church, for he's part of the problem instead of the solution. Blessed are those who gossip, for they shall cause strife and divisions that please me. Blessed are those who are easily offended, for they will soon get angry and quit. Blessed are those who do not give their offering to carry on God's work, for they are my helpers. Blessed is he who professes to love God, but hates his brother and sister, for he shall be with me forever. That one there hits you right to the core. And the other one is, blessed are you who, when you read this, think it's about other people and not yourself. And he makes a very blatant statement. He says, I've got you too. Well, I hope that is not the case. That's this person's thoughts. And I wanted to share them. And I'm not trying to say that these apply to you. But if we get something out of those things, if we are stirred by them, if they help us to come and to want to come closer to Jesus Christ, to come closer to His gospel, be stirred by it and think about it. Help others that you may see that may not be coming to the house of the Lord, that we need to encourage. and that they may receive the fellowship of their brothers and sisters. That is why it's called the body of Christ. And they may receive nourishment from the body. And it's a necessity. If it were not so, then why would He have not put it in the Scriptures where He said that the eye hath need of no need of the hand, or the foot, the rest of the body, and so on? Because it is the body of Christ. It is the family of Christ. I'd like to read this morning out of the book of James, if you'd like to read with me. The third chapter. As our brother did mention in his information about how information is transpiring today, knowledge being increased, everybody's text messaging more, and you know, in many ways it makes people more impersonal to one another. And it seems like the human element is being diminished, isn't it? And where, you know, you don't have to have human contact, because you could be at home doing your homework. You don't need to go to school. You, a lot of times, don't even need to go to work to interact with one another. And you could be sitting in your car. You don't have to go to visit anyone. Well, you could text message them or whatever, you know. And it becomes, it seems like there's this wall. And human relation seems to be breaking down, doesn't it? And yet, we find that we need to be very careful about how it is that we relate to one another, while we relate to others. And we have to think about, and we should think about, the things that we say and how we say them, how they're heard, how it rests upon another's ears, how does it rest upon another's mind. I've tried to use that for a recipe. I'm not always successful. You know, I'm very well capable of getting myself into a whole peck of trouble. I'm very capable of that. And but I've had that in my thought, that I'd like to realize how what I say is heard. Not always successful, like I said. Chapter 3 of the book of James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We don't need to rule over everything. We don't need to always have our way in everything. We don't need to be the boss in every situation. And I realize, you know, that there are many times when I'm in conference, and I go to the minister's conference or the general conference, and I have something very profound to say, I think, in my own mind. And I sit there, and someone else may stand, and they say something a ton more eloquent or well put and thought out than I would have, and realize that I would have tripped over my own shoelaces. I'm very capable of that. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. He's trying to tell us how difficult that it may be. You know, sometimes our words run like a running faucet. And we need to, you know, we propose a little thought before we, you know, we go on. And I've had to just about literally grab a hold of my tongue sometimes. That's happened. And one time will always stick in my mind. But a long time ago, we were in a deli, and we were waiting to get someone to help us with a... This is just a very small matter, but stuck out in my mind. And waiting to get someone to wait on us. And this lady, who evidently thought that she came from a better class of people, you know, maybe thought that she was of a better breed or species than I am, I don't know, thought that she needed to be before me, and so ran right smack dab, took the person that was waiting on me, if you will, and I can't wait, I have to have this, and so on, and I have to have my order. I stood there dumbfounded. And at that time, I witnessed to you today, I felt the footprint of an angel standing on my tongue. That's the best way I could describe it to you. And so I just let that go. And so, if we can find restraint, we got to be that the Lord gives us very good recipe, doesn't He? Love, joy, peace, easy to be entreated. He gives us a very good recipe, I believe. Be found unto edification. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, it says. Well, I know that we know that there are mute people and they can't particularly talk, but they communicate and make words and signs and can write, you know, many. We know there's exceptions to every rule in that sense, that physical sense, but they can communicate. Being able to bridle oneself in our words seem to be a threshold. And we find where, you know, people say, I've heard people say, it doesn't say anything in the Bible or in the Book of Mormon about swearing. I can say what I feel like. The Lord knows my heart. Well, the Lord says in there, He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, I'll take that one. And corrupt communications, corrupt good manners. There are many such the like. And so there are things, but we find people always will make an excuse the way they want to talk. Behold, He put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. And you wonder, you know, sometimes do we need that? Do we need a bit in the old mouth in order to kind of steer us in the right direction? Something to chomp on and figure, you know, we ought to be saying differently or behaving differently or so on and so forth. Sometimes the Lord needs to give us a tug. But that tug does come by way of the Holy Spirit. If we're paying attention and if we have tried to be closer to Him, we can get out of earshot with the Lord. We can depart from Him if we can not offer up those prayers, those thoughts, those concerns. We can depart from Him, can't we? We can withdraw from the sound of His voice with our ways, with our decisions, with our time, and not hear, and not feel the little jerk, you know, of the rain. Says, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be saying that. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they driven about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a manner a little fire kindleth. And I know, and when I read where it talks about the kindling of a little fire, I my thoughts going back to Elijah, when Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal, and they poured barrels of water all over the pile of wood to set a simple prayer, O Lord, that they may know that Thou art God. And boy, did it kindle a fire. And we had those that were dancing around the fire of a different belief, the prophets of Baal. And they leaped and they shouted and they cut themselves. And I don't go after another belief or a congregation or a whatever the matter, but there are some today that come pretty close. And There are those who like to play with snakes, that drink a little strychnine and dance and think that they're within the Holy Spirit, you know. And could that be tempting the Lord? And I've said this before, I remember a brother in the church in one of his sermons, he said, you know, if you stand in front of a train and just stand there and say, Lord, you're able to stop that train. Well, you know, if you were ignorant enough to stand in front of a train and not needing to be in front of the train, you just might meet your time. You need to be careful how the ways we do those things is, if you shall do this, and if you will come into this peril, if you will come into that peril. And I believe it's the same example when he was sending his disciples out, and he told them, and he sent them out with a purse nor scrip. They took no sword nor stave. And they came back, and they were taken care of. And he also told them, he said, if you go in and out of a city and they don't receive you, just shake off the dust of your feet, and it'll be a witness against them. And then he came back to them. He said, Did you notice the difference? Did you lack for anything? Did any harm come upon you? And then he said, go get you a coat, go get your shoes or so on, get your scripts, go get a sword. Go get a sword. And there's a friend of mine that I talked with, and he happens to, he believes in the, he's a very staunch supporter of the right to bear arms. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have guns, because I have enough of my own. And he's trying to say that the scriptures talk about in that instance where the Lord said to go get a sword, that it's given everyone a license. Go out and buy one. Go strap one on. Go strap on your sword. And I said, I think you're kind of missing the point here. I said, in that instance, what he's trying to say is, I sent you out without it. Now go get this and that. Go get your provisions and notice the difference. This is where I'm taking care of you, and this is where you're going to notice you're on your own. Remember, there are a lot of things where they were filled with the Spirit, but we know that there were items that the disciples didn't understand, and they came back and asked Him, remember? They had to ask Him to get the explanation of it. So, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members. They defile the whole body and set up on the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. Boy, that's pretty bad stuff. How can it be set on the fire of hell? Well, how about if you deny your Lord Jesus Christ once knowing Him? What about blaspheming another? How about the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit, you know? Clamor and anger and evil speaking. You know, saying evil things against some others that we shouldn't be, or so on. And blasphemy. Blasphemy, taking the Lord's name in vain, when it should be a blessing. But there are so many ways we don't really need to discuss that, do we? And shouldn't. Yes, it could be set on what do you say? The course of nature and set on fire of hell. And you know something? That course could lead us there. People don't like to talk about that. We could, you know, a person could be set on the course of hell. It's not a nice place, and it's not a thing to think about. We like to sidestep that sometimes. But it's a horrible, horrible place. Eternal separation from God. We're weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to think about that. And if it were that we would talk about the attributes of Christ. Always. What a blessedness that would be. But you know, Jesus acquainted us very acutely many times. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go to that extreme. You don't want to go to that place. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. And He said, few there be that find it. Don't go there. Don't go on that course. And we had better be very concerned. And there are those that we also know that we've been given this warning. I believe it's been put on our heart, the ministry of this church this year. It's been put upon our heart and in our prayers. And I pray the Father it is in yours too. There are those that belong in fellowship. It is a serious thing. There are many that we can all think of, different ones we know should be here, and we love them. And God loves them too. It's a serious thing. For every kind of beasts, verse 7, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. The tongue can no man tame, it is ruling evil and full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth of the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither can a vine fig. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we find, what's the difference? What is the difference? We find that there are the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? A result of a spiritual person. A person that has given themselves over to Christ. A person that desires to follow the way of the Master. A person that desires to follow the convictions of what they profess to believe. The things that you know to be true. There are things that take a constant effort to be in the forefront of our thinking, of our ways and our decisions. It got to be things that we abandon, you know, our principles. There are virtues there in His gospel. There are so many there in His gospel. There are virtues, wonderful, good virtues, impeccable human, godly character traits, virtues. And they take a nurturing. They take an effort. They take something that we're working at and we're building upon in order to want to exhibit, to profess. They take an effort. And when we work at those things, if we want to profess goodness, we say, well, you think that would be an easy thing? Let's think about that. You know, what about what good, sound wisdom, godly wisdom? Have you ever done some really downright dumb things? I have. I know we can all think that, and we're not gonna do a poll within the room so that we can all think about, boy, that, you know, I've done this or I've done that. This isn't that type of self-help class. This is a self-examination. We find the test is at the end of the road, though. And as we were talking about today, where they want to not count attendance and so on, the school system, in order to be able to get the information and so on, and human relation and timeliness and so on and so forth. I think God wants our attendance in His classroom. He wants our attendance in His classroom so He may teach us. He wants us to get along with our other classmates. He has lessons for us to learn. And He wants us to be in the body of Christ. And so, wisdom is one of those things, and other of virtue. But here He's talking about a threshold. He's talking about a foundational trait, being able to say things that are of a godly nature, in order to exhibit kindness. And where does kindness? Is that a virtue? Kindness? But it must start somewhere. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness. Is meekness something? Humbleness. Is that something that we can just say, well, you know, I'm humble. I am meek. Boy, I'm going to love and hear it in the earth. Is it also a virtue? Is it something that we need to be working on? Where does that start from? What is the profession of our faith? And do we profess to our God each and every day? Within this great information age, do we take the time to profess to God each and every day? How about professing to Him that we're human, that we have faults, and that we have maybe transgressed His laws, that we need forgiveness? And we ask the one that can give that forgiveness, and He said He would, and we depend upon it. Do we do that? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. And so he says, if we're exhibiting the bad words, if we're exhibiting envying over this, that, and the other, or thinking of ourselves before more than we should, or having strife in our hearts, and bitterness, and anger, and clamor, and so on, against what the fruits of the Spirit would be about, of course, don't be lying against the truth. He's calling that what? Hypocrisy. You know? That we profess to be one thing and we're exhibiting another. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And Jesus has said, He said, won't there be many that come to Me in that day and say, have we done many wonderful things in Your name? Haven't we done this and haven't we done this? He says, depart from Me. He says, I never knew you. We find it is that it's a deep spiritual conviction and His presence in our life, our hearts, and in our ways, isn't it? And so we don't want envying. We don't want strife. And we don't want confusion. And we don't want evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, easily to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And we know sometimes that there are certainly situations that we come into on different levels and people's attitudes. Sometimes that's a physical getting in between somebody to make peace. And be careful we're not the ones stirring up attitudes with others, contention among the brethren, so to speak, and stirring trouble. But being the peacemaker in many ways that things don't happen. That God's love may be exhibited or shared and witnessed, showing mercy and good fruits. And just how many good fruits a day should we be exhibiting? Is there a limit to those things? Or is that the person you are? I think if we do enough good things, it'll cancel out bad ones that we may do or bad traits that we may have. If we do some good things, that they will somehow cancel themselves out. Some sort of mathematics there. But if you are that person, if you are the person that starts with the inherent feeling of good, clean, honest, and pure love for your God, then we will want to say the wonderful and kind things. We want to feel the wonderful and kind things. We want to say wonderful, kind things and to behave in a manner as God's children should be. That as He would see His reflection in our lives. Christ is going to be looking for His reflection on Judgment Day. He's going to be look at the judgment seat. He's going to be looking for His reflection in our eyes and in our hearts. He's going to be looking for the gospel that He paid for with His life. He's going to be looking for that reflection in us. And how did you use what it was that He gave you? Are you going to return to Him that there was nothing we did with it? Even though we believed. It also says in the book of James, another chapter, it says that you do well. It said the devils also believe. What do we do more than the faith of a devil? Do we exhibit the love of Christ? Do we go on and is it shown? Is it witnessed? And does that very witness come forth from the fruit of our lips? And so I thank you for your time, your love, your patience, and your prayers. Thank you. Good morning to you all. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we start this morning's worship services, or our message this morning, just a couple of announcements that... remember our pantry donations out back, so that could be taken care of, and I think that would probably be wise of us to make that donation so things are out of the way there before reunion. And so please, you know, bring to the pantry collection. And also, toward the up and coming reunion in a couple weeks, please think of if you would be able to make room, if there's any from out of the area, to share your home, open up your home to anyone who might be coming through. I haven't heard particularly of that need just yet, but drawing closer, there could be. Please let me know about that. Serious consideration. You have great blessing for this too. Also for talent offerings that, you know, there are things that you may be inspired to do. There may be a poem or a reading or a hymn you'd like to sing, or like to sing a special, or play an instrument, and so on and so forth. Please let us know this, that that can be put together. I had received an email from Brother Chris down in Fort Wayne, and he'd like to bring his guitar. He'd like to play something during that time, and was wondering about that as well. And so, let's make this a matter of prayer, and make it be a special reunion. And so, ask interest in your prayers for the reunion as a whole. And we think about all the reasons that we would have a reunion. There are so many things, so many blessings that the Spirit of the Lord moves and hearts and minds that are touched. And so the Lord recognizes the meeting together. You know, it's a rally time. It is also, if you will, a battle cry where we are arming in order to prepare for, you know, what happens in our lives, out in our workplaces, out, you know, where we are arming ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be renewed, to be revigorated, to be vitalized, and to have the conviction and fire, you know, kindled in our lives. So many things. It's reunion. It is rekindling of friendships, and so. Let's remember these things. You know, I have a thought here. I was wondering, thinking about, as Randy was mentioning in our Sunday school this morning, about all the facts concerning China and all the amounts of information that are coming forth in this day and age and how it's multiplying and so on. And texting back and forth, in a conversation we hold this way, and the way we use our internet, and the amount of information back and forth, and the amount of technologies and so on, and how much we would use these things, and sometimes misuse these things, you know. But yet we find how hard it is for people to give a simple prayer to their Lord, who has all power, all knowledge, supersedes all those things, all omnipotent. He's allowed us to have the freedom and the wherewithal to have this knowledge, to be able to get where we are today. If you think about it, you know, there's been however many thousands of years of mankind, and yes, there has been rises and civilizations in the past in history that maybe have diminished, such as the Mayan Empire, you know, and what we find in the Book of Mormon, we find evidences of observatories, and we find astronomy, we find, you know, mathematics, we find great knowledge of being able to build things that we don't have. We don't have machinery today to be able to move some of these things and cut them. So we'd have to have particular huge machinery to cut things, such as the stones and the temples, but they were doing it by hand. And what I'm trying to say is that, yes, there's been certain amounts of knowledge, but not like we are today. So it's heralding not only an information age, but particularly where we are at today. And where we are at today, I believe. And so, that song that we sang, The Old, Old Path. And no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter what people learn, no matter the generations that change, no matter what the styles may change, no matter what the fads may be, no matter what how lifestyles may change within people's eyes today, no matter what styles of cars they drive, or the horsepower, the mileage, or the marketplace, no matter what the global economy does, no matter what the technologies that are developed, God does not change. In the Scriptures it says, seek ye out the old paths wherein dwelleth righteousness. Seek ye out the old paths. And that is our God through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has initiated and authored eternal life, and has set forth that foundation, who has set forth and heralded that promise to us, who has extended the arms of mercy. That no matter where we are, where we go in this world, that it is only and through Jesus Christ. No matter what has tried to be made okay today for ways of worshiping, or thinking that there are different paths that they're trying to promote on national television, don't you think that there are other paths? Don't you think that other ways lead to eternal bliss? Don't you think worshiping this way and that way is okay? But there's only one that has paid the price and has been witnessed and changed the lives of millions, as Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, has been witnessed through the ages. I'd like to take and read an email this morning. And we know that the Scriptures in the New Testament, the Gospels, has Beatitudes. You know how sometimes people have an interesting thought and they have something to provoke an idea, to have us to think. And someone did here. And this is stated, if the devil were to write his Beatitudes, they would probably go something like this. Blessed are those who are too tired or busy to spend an hour once a week with fellow Christians. They are my best workers. Or two, blessed are those Christians who wait to be asked and expect to be thanked. I can use them. Blessed are the touchy who stop going to church. They are my missionaries. Blessed are the troublemakers. They should be called my children. Blessed are the complainers. I'm all ears to them. Blessed are those who are bored with the minister's mannerisms and mistakes, for they get nothing out of his sermons. Blessed is the church member who expects to be invited to his own church, for he's part of the problem instead of the solution. Blessed are those who gossip, for they shall cause strife and divisions that please me. Blessed are those who are easily offended, for they will soon get angry and quit. Blessed are those who do not give their offering to carry on God's work, for they are my helpers. Blessed is he who professes to love God, but hates his brother and sister, for he shall be with me forever. That one there hits you right to the core. And the other one is, blessed are you who, when you read this, think it's about other people and not yourself. And he makes a very blatant statement. He says, I've got you too. Well, I hope that is not the case. That's this person's thoughts. And I wanted to share them. And I'm not trying to say that these apply to you. But if we get something out of those things, if we are stirred by them, if they help us to come and to want to come closer to Jesus Christ, to come closer to His gospel, be stirred by it and think about it. Help others that you may see that may not be coming to the house of the Lord that we need to encourage. And that they may receive the fellowship of their brothers and sisters. That is why it's called the body of Christ. And they may receive nourishment from the body. And it's a necessity. If it were not so, then why would he have not put it in the scriptures where he said that the eye hath need of no need of the hand or the foot, the rest of the body, and so on? Because it is the body of Christ. It is the family of Christ. I'd like to read this morning out of the book of James, if you'd like to read with me. The third chapter. As our brother did mention in his information about how information is transpiring today, knowledge being increased, everybody's text messaging more, and you know, in many ways it makes people more impersonal to one another. It seems like the human element is being diminished, isn't it? And where, you know, you don't have to have human contact, because you could be at home doing your homework. You don't need to go to school. You, a lot of times, don't even need to go to work to interact with one another. And you could be sitting in your car. You don't have to go to visit anyone. Well, you could text message them or whatever, you know. And it becomes, it seems like there's this wall. And human relation seems to be breaking down, doesn't it? And yet, we find that we need to be very careful about how it is that we relate to one another, how we relate to others. And we have to think about, and we should think about, the things that we say and how we say them, how they're heard, how it rests upon another's ears, how does it rest upon another's mind. I've tried to use that for a recipe. I'm not always successful. You know, I'm very well capable of getting myself into a whole peck of trouble. I'm very capable of that. And but I've had that in my thought. Now I'd like to realize how what I say is heard. Not always successful, like I said. Chapter 3 of the book of James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We don't need to rule over everything. We don't need to always have our way in everything. We don't need to be the boss in every situation. And I realize, you know, and there are many times when I'm in conference, and I go to the minister's conference or the general conference, and I have something very profound to say, I think, in my own mind. And I sit there, and someone else may stand, and they say something a ton more eloquent or well put and thought out than I would have, and realize that I would have tripped over my own shoelaces. I'm very capable of that. It's For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, same as perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. He's trying to tell us how difficult that it may be. You know, sometimes our words run like a running faucet. And we need to, you know, we propose a little thought before we, you know, we go on. And I've had to just about literally grab a hold of my tongue sometimes. That's happened. And one time will always stick in my mind. But a long time ago, we were in a deli, and we were waiting for to get someone to help us with a. This is just a very small matter, but stuck out in my mind, and waiting to get someone to wait on us. And this lady who evidently thought that she came from a better class of people, you know, maybe thought that she was of a better breed or species than I am, I don't know, thought that she needed to be before me, and so ran right smack dab, took the person that was waiting on me, if you will, and so I can't wait, I have to have this, and so on, and I have to have my order. I stood there dumbfounded, and at that time, I witnessed to you today, I felt the footprint of an angel standing on my tongue. That's the best way I could describe it to you. And so I just let that go. And so, if we can find restraint, we got to be that the Lord gives us very good recipe, doesn't He? Love, joy, peace, easy to be entreated. He gives us a very good recipe, I believe. Be found unto edification. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, it says. Well, we know that there are mute people and they can't particularly talk, but they communicate and make words and signs and can write, you know, many. We know there's exceptions to every rule in that sense, that physical sense, but they can communicate. Being able to bridle oneself in our words seem to be a threshold. And we find where, you know, I've heard people say, it doesn't say anything in the Bible or in the Book of Mormon about swearing. I can say what I feel like. The Lord knows my heart. Well, the Lord says in there, He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, take that one. And corrupt communications, corrupt good manners. There are many such the like. And so there are things, but we find people always will make an excuse the way they want to talk. Behold, they put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. And you wonder, you know, sometimes do we need that? Do we need a bit in the old mouth in order to kind of steer us in the right direction? Something to chomp on and figure, you know, we ought to be saying differently or behaving differently or so on and so forth. Sometimes the Lord needs to give us a tug. But that tug does come by way of the Holy Spirit. If we're paying attention, and if we have tried to be closer to Him, we can get out of earshot with the Lord. We can depart from Him if we can not offer up those prayers, those thoughts, those concerns. We can depart from Him, can't we? We can withdraw from the sound of His voice with our ways, with our decisions, with our time, and not hear, and not feel the little jerk, you know, of the rain. It says, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be saying that. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they driven about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a manner a little fire kindleth. And I know, and when I read where it talks about the kindling of a little fire, my thoughts going back to Elijah, when Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal, and they poured barrels of water all over the pile of wood, to set a simple prayer, O Lord, that they may know that Thou art God. And boy, did it kindle a fire. And we had those that were dancing around the fire of a different belief, the prophets of Baal. And they leaped and they shouted and they cut themselves. And I don't go after another belief or a congregation or a whatever the matter, but there are some today that come pretty close. And there are those that like to play with snakes, that drink a little strychnine and dance and think that they're within the Holy Spirit, you know. And could that be tempting the Lord? And I've said this before, I remember a brother in the church in one of his sermons, he said, you know, if you stand in front of a train and just stand there and say, Lord, you're able to stop that train. Well, you know, if you were ignorant enough to stand in front of the train and not needing to be in front of the train, you just might meet your time. You need to be careful how the ways we do those things is, if you shall do this, and if you will come into this peril, if you will come into that peril. And I believe it's the same example when he was sending his disciples out, and he told them, and he sent them out without purse nor scrip. They took no sword nor stave. And they came back and they were taken care of. And he also told them, he said, if you go in and out of a city and they don't receive you, just shake off the dust of your feet and it'll be a witness against them. And then he came back to them. He said, did you notice the difference? Did you lack for anything? Did any harm come upon you? And then he said, go get you a coat, go get your shoes or so on, get your scripts, go get a sword. Go get a sword. And there's a friend of mine that I talked with, and he happens to, he believes in he's a very staunch supporter of the right to bear arms. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have guns, because I have enough of my own. And he's trying to say that the scriptures talk about in that instance where the Lord said to go get a sword, that it's given everyone a license. Go out and buy one. Go strap one on. Go strap on your sword. And I said, I think you're kind of missing the point here. I said, in that instance, what he's trying to say is, I sent you out without it. Now go get this and that. Go get your provisions and notice the difference. This is where I'm taking care of you, and this is where you're going to notice you're on your own. Remember, there are a lot of things where they were filled with the Spirit, but we know that there were items that the disciples didn't understand, and they came back and asked him, remember? They had to ask him to get the explanation of it. So, verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members. They defile the whole body and setteth on the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. Boy, that's pretty bad stuff. Set on the how can it be set on the fire of hell? Well, how about if you deny your Lord Jesus Christ once knowing Him? What about blaspheming another? How about the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit? You know, clamor and anger and evil speaking. You know, saying evil things against some others that we shouldn't be, or so on, and blasphemy, taking the Lord's name in vain, when it should be a blessing. But there are so many ways we don't really need to discuss that, do we? and shouldn't. Yes, it could be set on what do you say? The course of nature and set on fire of hell. And you know something? That course could lead us there. People don't like to talk about that. We could, you know, a person could be set on the course of hell. It's not a nice place, and it's not a thing to think about. And we like to sidestep that sometimes. But it's a horrible, horrible place. Eternal separation from God. We're weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to think about that. And if it were that we would talk about the attributes of Christ always, what a blessedness that would be. But you know, Jesus acquainted us very acutely many times. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go to that extreme. You don't want to go to that place. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow is the way that lead to eternal life. And he said, few there be that find it. Don't go there. Don't go on that course. And we had better be very concerned. And there are those that we also know that we've been given this warning. I believe it's been put on our heart, the ministry of this church this year. It's been put upon our heart and in our prayers. And I pray the Father it is in yours too. There are those that belong in fellowship. It is a serious thing. There are many that we can all think of, different ones we know should be here, and we love them. And God loves them too. It's a serious thing. For every kind of beasts, verse 7, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. The tongue can no man tame, it is really evil and full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. He says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth of the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither can a vine fig. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we find, what's the difference? What is the difference? We find that there are the fruits of the Spirit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit a result of? A spiritual person. A person that has given themselves over to Christ. A person that desires to follow the way of the Master. A person that desires to follow the convictions of what they profess to believe. The things that you know to be true. There are things that take a constant effort to be in the forefront of our thinking, of our ways and our decisions. It got to be things that we abandon, you know, our principles. There are virtues there in his gospel. There are so many there in his gospel. There are virtues, wonderful, good virtues, impeccable human, godly character traits, virtues. And they take a nurturing. They take an effort. They take something that we're working at and we're building upon in order to want to exhibit, to profess. They take an effort. And when we work at those things, if we want to profess goodness, we say, well, you think that would be an easy thing? Let's think about that. You know, what about what good, sound wisdom, godly wisdom? Have you ever done some really downright dumb things? I have. I know we can all think of that, and we're not gonna do a poll within the room so that we can all think about, boy, that, you know, I've done this or I've done that. This isn't that type of self-help class. This is a self-examination. We find the test is at the end of the road, though. And as we were talking about today, where they want to not count attendance and so on, the school system, in order to be able to get the information and so on, and human relation and timeliness and so on and so forth, I think God wants our attendance in His classroom. He wants our attendance in His classroom so He may teach us. He wants us to get along with our other classmates. He has lessons for us to learn. And He wants us to be in the body of Christ. And so, wisdom is one of those things, and other of virtue. But here He's talking about a threshold. He's talking about a foundational trait, being able to say things that are of a godly nature, in order to exhibit kindness. And where does kindness? Is that a virtue? Kindness? But it must start somewhere. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness. Is meekness something? Humbleness. Is that something that we can just say, well, you know, I'm humble. I am meek. Boy, I'm going to love in here in the earth. Is it also a virtue? Is it something that we need to be working on? Where does that start from? What is the profession of our faith? And do we profess to our God each and every day? Within this great information age, do we take the time to profess to God each and every day? How about professing to Him that we're human, that we have faults, and that we have maybe transgressed His laws, that we need forgiveness? And we ask the One that can give that forgiveness, and He said He would, and we depend upon it. Do we do that? But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. And so he says, if we're exhibiting the bad words, if we're exhibiting envying over this, that, and the other, or thinking of ourselves before more than we should, or having strife in our hearts, and bitterness and anger and clamor and so on, against what the fruits of the Spirit would be about, of course, don't be lying against the truth. He's called that what? Hypocrisy. You know? That we profess to be one thing and we're exhibiting another. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. When Jesus has said, He said, won't there be many that come to Me in that day and say, have we done many wonderful things in Your name? Haven't we done this and haven't we done this? He says, depart from Me. He says, I never knew you. We find it is that it's a deep spiritual conviction and His presence in our life, our hearts, and in our ways, isn't it? So we don't want envying. We don't want strife. And we don't want confusion. And we don't want evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And we know sometimes that there are certainly situations that we come into on different levels and people's attitudes. Sometimes it's a physical getting in between somebody to make peace. And be careful we're not the ones stirring up attitudes with others, contention among the brethren, so to speak, and stirring trouble. But being the peacemaker in many ways that things don't happen. that God's love may be exhibited or shared and witnessed, showing mercy and good fruits. And just how many good fruits a day should we be exhibiting? Is there a limit to those things? Or is that the person you are? I think if we do enough good things, it'll cancel out bad ones that we may do or bad traits that we may have. If we do some good things, that they will somehow cancel themselves out. Some sort of mathematics there. But if you are that person, if you are the person that starts with the inherent feeling of good, clean, honest, and pure love for your God, then we will want to say the wonderful and kind things. We want to feel the wonderful and kind things. We want to say wonderful, kind things, and to behave in a manner as God's children should be. That is, He would see His reflection in our lives. Christ is going to be looking for His reflection on Judgment Day. He's going to be looking at the judgment seat. He's going to be looking for His reflection in our eyes and in our hearts. He's going to be looking for the gospel that He paid for with His life. He's going to be looking for that reflection in us. And how did you use what it was that He gave you? Are you going to return to Him that there was nothing we did with it? Even though we believed. It also says in the book of James, another chapter, it says that you do well. It said the devils also believe. What do we do more than the faith of a devil? Do we exhibit the love of Christ? Do we go on and is it shown? Is it witnessed? And does that very witness come forth from the fruit of our lips? And so I thank you for your time, your love, your patience, and your prayers.